You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 1. That's where we're going to be at this morning, Acts chapter 1. I realize as you're going there, some of you have already just completely checked out of this message. When we lit the fourth candle and we mentioned the word witnessing, you just kind of shut down, right? You've been coming the last 3 weeks. You've been so excited about these candles. And the first one was watching. I can do that. I can watch for the Lord to return. I got it. Check. You've been watching, right? And then we came back. We talked about walking in Jesus, with Jesus. I can do that. Check. Okay, I'm going to walk with the Lord. You've been walking with the Lord. And then we talked about working. And you can work hard for the Lord and serving others in that way. And you've been working hard and you've been doing that. Check. So you've been doing all these things. You've came anticipating what's the fourth W. What can I do? And then we said the word witness. And you're like, I can't do that. I can walk. I can watch. I can work. But I can't witness. That's for somebody else, right? I can do these other three. I'll stick to those three. I'll do those well. But that fourth thing, that witnessing thing, that word evangelism, like sharing my faith with somebody else, I can't do that one. That one is for somebody else. That's for the professionals. That's for the other people, right? Some of us are thinking that this morning, so we've already sort of checked out. Now, there's another group in here who are like evangelist pros, right? Like, you're excited. You're like, yes, witness, and this is what I do. This is who I am. This is exciting. Man, I'm ready. Like, this is awesome. I love evangelism. I love sharing my faith. Like, you're the person we go out to eat. Like, you know, we eat with you, those of us who aren't very good at evangelism, and we've been trying to witness to our coworker for like years now. And we haven't been able to do it. We've been trying to witness to our spouse for years, but we've never been able to share. And then we go eat lunch with you, and you share your faith with the waiter. And we're like, what? How did you do that? And so some of you are pros this morning, right? So if that's you, this sermon is not necessarily tailored for you, okay? This is tailored for us who really struggle with evangelism, who really struggle with witness, who think I could never ever share my faith with anybody. That's my target audience this morning. Those of us who have never even taken one little tiny step towards evangelism, that's who I want to talk about. So if you're a professional evangelist this morning, then just pray for the rest of us, right? Because we don't like you that much. So just pray for us that we would like you, right? Because you sort of annoy us because it just comes so natural. You do it everywhere you go. And we really want to share our faith, right? But it's just, we can't, and then you're sharing your faith like crazy. So just pray for us that we would be more like you, and that we would like it. We really do love you guys who share your faith like crazy. We just don't necessarily like it when you're in our small group or our Sunday school, right? Because every Sunday, it's eight people that you've led to the Lord, and it's 8 years, and we still haven't even shared with one person, right? So that's us. That's kind of me, right? We struggle with personal evangelism. So that's kind of the target audience. So if you're pro sharing your faith, then I really hope this message just encourages you. But honestly, just pray for the rest of us, because what I really wanted the target audience this to be is for those of you who are sitting in this room thinking, I just could never do this. I could never share my faith. I could never be an influence towards somebody. And maybe in those words, the thought of witnessing, I mean, that's a big, heavy word, right? We get all these images of, I've got to go knock on a door of a stranger and read from a script and tell them something. This idea of evangelism, those are kind of big words, right? They're heavy. They kind of scare us a little bit. Like, our palms get a little sweaty. Like, when I was studying for this sermon, my palms would get a little sweaty even typing on the computer, because I had a personal evangelism in seminary class. And every week, we actually had to go share our faith with somebody and then write our experience and turn it into our professor. So every week in seminary, I had to do that. And I remember hearing him say that and just my palms beginning to sweat. the thought, okay, I've got to go meet people and sit down with them and share the entire gospel with them and then see their response and then write it down. And some of you are like, I could never do that. That was me. I was thinking those thoughts as well. So I know even just those words, they can unsettle us a little bit. So maybe instead of thinking about, okay, I'm going to go witness, I'm going to go share the gospel, I'm going to go evangelize, maybe for you, you need to think about like this. I'm going to go and just influence somebody for the Lord. It's a little bit easier. Okay, I'm just going to influence. What does that mean? It means there's a person and you're just going to get them this much closer to a knowledge of the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about, just influencing somebody for the Lord. And that's really what we're called to do. Because the truth is, whether you're a professional or a very novice beginner, no matter what your giftedness is when it comes to evangelism, every single believer has been commissioned to share the gospel. So all of us are in this. So if you're like, wow, that's not my spiritual giftedness, it doesn't get you off the hook. God has called every single believer who's been raised from the dead to share the message of that good news to those around us. So this is for all of us. So how can we do this? How can we do this better? How can we do this more? So what my goal is this morning, okay, is not to get you all to go out and share your faith with 100 people. What my goal is this morning is wherever you're at, for you to take one step forward in sharing your faith. Just one step. So maybe for you, it's completely off your radar, and your one step is going to be, I'm going to start praying for someone. That's your one step. If you go there and do that, that's great. That's the goal. One step. If you're praying, one step towards sharing. One step towards moving a little bit further forward in actually influencing someone for the Lord. So if you're panicked a little bit in your seat, don't be panicked. The whole point of this message is to get you to just move one little step forward in sharing your faith with someone else. So with that said, let's go ahead and go to Acts and just make sure this is even something that we're supposed to be doing, right? So Acts chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and stand out of reverence for the Word of God. Here's what we read beginning in verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times and seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you, listen to this, will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Father God, we pray that this morning that you would help us not to be looking up and staring and gazing and standing around, but that you would help us to start moving into obedience, into furthering your kingdom through sharing this great news that we have with those around us. So we pray that we'd stop standing and we would start going. We pray this in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm just going to walk through this text. So he opens up and says he's written another book. So the first book O Theophilus. He's writing to the person who funded probably both projects, Luke and Acts. So he's writing to this guy telling him, look, I wrote the first book. Now I'm going to write my second book to you so we can verify all that you're hearing about Christianity. It's all true. So think about the first book. He says, first of all, I wrote all the things that Jesus accomplished, all the things he did. So I want to just do the bookends of Luke, how Luke begins and how Luke ends, because it connects to Acts chapter 1. So notice Luke's gospel actually begins with Christmas. We're going to put the text up there, Luke chapter 2. So it begins with Christmas. Do we have those verses up there? So it says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So here we have the very beginning of Luke, right? That Christmas story. It begins with Christmas. And what is Christmas about? Joy for all people, right? The little kids sang last Sunday about that. Joy that will be for all people, right? We got that song. If you're a dad or a mom, a first fruits farm, that song will forever be etched in your mind. So, but it's joy, not just for you, not just for me, but for all people. So this joy that's come, it's for everybody. It's this message, it says, of good news. There's good news, there's joy, and it's for everybody. It's for your family, it's for your neighbors, it's for your coworkers, it's for the people that you do hobbies with, it's people that you live life with, it's people at all spaces that you travel to, it's for them. And what's the message? There's a Savior that's been born. In other words, all people need a Savior, and you have the message that a Savior has been born, this good news that will change people's life. That's what everyone needs to hear. So it begins with Christmas. And then the gospel ends with a cross, a resurrection, and then a commission. That's how Luke ends. So we'll go to the last few verses, Luke 24, 45. It says this, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day be raised from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power on high. So it begins with, there's good news, a Savior's born. This is for all people. And then what happens at the end of the gospel, right? Jesus dies on a cross for our sins, and then he's raised from the dead. And here, in his resurrected body, he's standing before his disciples, and he's reminding them of something. Here's the mission. Your mission is this, proclaim the good news to all nations. Proclaim forgiveness of sins through repentance. That's the mission. Go proclaim that. Repentance and forgiveness is offered in Jesus' name. That's our great mission. That's the mission he left the apostles with. That's the mission that they left us with, right? To go and proclaim to all people this message of repentance and forgiveness. That was their mission. What's their position? Who are they? You're my witnesses. So mission, go tell. Your position as a believer is what? You're a witness. I mean, that's who you are. If you're in Christ, then here's what you are. You are a witness for Christ. A witness of what? Who he is. He's a Savior. He died and rose again, and that if you repent and believe in him, you'll have eternal life. So the mission, go tell, your position, who you are a witness. If you're in Christ, you are a missionary. The Lottie Moon offering that we send, that's for our international missionaries. They're not the only missionaries. Missionaries are just not those who are sent out. Everyone in Christ is a missionary. It's just we have different locations. Some of us go to work, and that's our mission field. Some of us stay home, and that's our mission field. It's different places that we occupy. That is our mission field. So our position is we're witnesses, we're missionaries, and our mission is to go and tell those who need Christ. So here we have Acts chapter 1. So he's connecting the story of Luke, the story of Jesus, to Acts now. What was Luke's gospel about? It began with Christmas, and it ended with, now go tell everyone. Because the gospel has been accomplished. And then we have Acts chapter 1 and what happens. They're with Jesus. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, and they're anxious. They're excited. They're ready to go. And Jesus says, I'm going to leave, but you got to wait. You can't go yet because you can't accomplish this mission in your own power. You can't accomplish this mission in and of yourself. You got to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. Because see, what God did is in making us his witnesses, he doesn't just call us to go and develop our own plan of sharing our faith. No, he says, you're going to go in my power and my presence. So when you go and try to be an influence to somebody for Jesus, you're not going in your own power and your own strength, trying to do it your own way. You're going in the power and presence of the Lord. Like he sends his power and presence with you. So when you have that conversation, when you open your mouth and start nudging it, you're not there alone. You're not by yourself. The God of the universe is with you and for you, and he will walk through that situation with you. That's good news. Jesus doesn't say, hey, go out and good luck. No, he says, go with me, and you just open the door, and I'll walk through it with you. And so we go in God's presence and in God's power. And they start asking questions to Jesus. Well, are you going to restore the kingdom of heaven? When's this going to happen? Have you ever noticed when a lot of times when people ask Jesus a question, instead of giving them an answer to their question, Jesus gets them to ask the right question? Rather, so they ask a question about when's the kingdom going to come, and Jesus basically says, don't worry about that. Here's what you need to worry about, furthering the kingdom right now on planet Earth. Here's what you need to be doing, right? And for some of us, we're asking the wrong question, because especially in our current culture, and we look around, we open up the USA Today, and it seems like just the whole world is falling apart, and so much terrible things are happening. And we ask the question, when is Christ coming back? When is all this going to be fixed? When are you going to just come back and this is all going to be over? When are you going to take me home? And that's not a bad question, but it's not the only question you need to be asking. The question is not just, Jesus, when are you coming back to fix everything? No, the question is, no, how can I right now get to work and actually further the kingdom right now on this planet and make things better by being a witness? Because what's wrong with the world is people don't know the gospel. People are disconnected from God. And that's where we have all the problems with our world. You have people living disconnected from God. And we have a message that can reconnect people to God. So instead of hoping and wishing Jesus to come back right now, though we need to know that he is coming back, but what do we need to do? We need to get to work. We need to go and share with people the good news of how they can get connected back to God and how the world can actually change for the better right now until he comes back, right? So Jesus, don't worry about all that stuff. You worry about this. You've got work to do. I called you to be my witnesses, and here's what I need you to do. I need you to go and witness until I come back. That when I come back, it's the Father's decision. That's not yours. But what's in your control is your going. And what I need you to do is to go. What I need you is to go and be an influence for people around you so that they might know the Lord. So when Jesus says these things, so here's what's going to happen. You're going to go. You're going to get power, and you're going to go, and you're going to be my witnesses. And then the disciples are looking at Jesus, and he starts floating up. Now just imagine that. I mean, here's Jesus. He's risen from the dead. He gives you a commission, right? All people need to hear about me. Go and tell them. And then he starts floating up. I mean, I'm sure it took like a moment or two for the disciples to realize he was floating up, because they're like, okay, Jesus, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that. Hold on. Wait, what? What's, you know, I mean, just put yourself in your shoes. Like, Jesus is ascending back into heaven. Like, you've never seen this before in your entire life. You've never seen a person do this. You've also never seen a person raised from the dead. So these are quite particular events that are just happening to you. So you're seeing glory before you, right? Jesus is ascending back in heaven, and you got to imagine, it's a glorious scene. Like, they are staring, they are gazing, and they look, and then all of a sudden he's taken up in a cloud. And it's just like, what just happened? I mean, they're literally just standing and gazing and beholding the most glorious thing they've ever seen in their entire life. They just saw the Son of God ascend to heaven. Like, that would be a good ticket to see, right? Like, you would pay to see that happen, right? That's unbelievable. Like, they're in one of the greatest moments in human history. The Son of God ascends back to the right hand of the Father, and they're standing, and they're staring, and they're gazing in all the glory they just behold. And then I don't know how much time passes by, but I have a feeling there's quite a bit of time. So much time that it's like, okay, we're going to have to do something. Like, these guys aren't ever going to leave this moment. So God sends two angels that are standing beside them, and they have white robes on. It's described. So you can tell, like, these are out of the ordinary. They're not wearing the same thing everybody else is wearing. It's like that they get the attention of the guys, and they kind of look around, and they're a little bit, like, woken up from what just happened. And what do the angels say to them? Men of Galilee, what are you doing? Why are you standing and staring up in heaven? That Jesus who just ascended into heaven, he's coming back in the exact same way. What's the message? What's the point? Stop staring and gazing into heaven and beholding all the glory you just beheld. Instead, remember what he said before he went. Here, stop staring and standing and instead start going. Because that's what he said to do. And see, I think for some of us, we're in the same position as those disciples were. Man, we've come to Christ and we behold all the glory. Now we're in Christ. We've got the church. We've got our study Bible. We've got our quiet time. We got all this stuff. And what we can do is get so caught up in the glory of Christ, which is a good thing, right? But sometimes we can forget what Christ actually told us to do. Like, we're so caught up with, I just want to be with the Lord, I want to be with his people, and I want to all the time just be in this moment of seeing that glorious moment when he ascended, that we get so caught up in standing and staring that we forget that he actually told us to go and do something. Amen. Right? That glory should cause us to move rather than stand still. Like that's what Jesus ascended into heaven for. So that he could have all authority over all things, so that he could tell you to go, because he gives you authority and he's going to guide you from his position in heaven as you go. So here's just a really simple question I want to ask you this morning. As a believer, are you standing and staring, or are you moving and going? I mean, it's a real simple question. When it comes to your walk with the Lord, is it all about you and Jesus all the time? You, Jesus, church, that's your whole Christianity. Or is it, no, Jesus, me, and the church leads me to fulfill the mission and position that he's called me to. Man, I'm a witness, and I get to go and further the kingdom by sharing the gospel, by making disciples, by influencing others for the Lord. So are you standing and staring, or are you moving and going? For most of us, probably we're in that camp of, yeah, most of the time I'm standing and I'm staring, and which is good. We want to behold the glory of Christ. That's the most important, to behold the glory of Christ. But the glory of Christ should propel you to go for Christ, not just to constantly stand where you're at. So how do we do this? How do we go? So for those of us who are standing, or for those of us who are standing right now or stand a lot, how do we start going? That's kind of where I want to take the end of the message. How do we go? How do we do this? What's going to propel us to go? And I want to say just a few things. So when it comes to going starts with a resurrection, right? You see it in the Gospels, right? Jesus rose from the dead, and then he sent the disciples out. So it starts with Jesus being raised from the dead. That's where going begins. It begins with a Savior who rose from the dead. But for you, it begins with your own resurrection. See, your going begins with your being raised from the dead. God raises you from the dead, and then he sends you out to share that news of resurrection with other people who are dead, that they can be raised from the dead through Jesus Christ, the same way you were raised from the dead. So if you've experienced resurrection, that should cause you to want to go and share with other people the good news that saved you. See, your salvation should lead to wanting to show others that glorious salvation. As it's been said, it's one beggar who found bread telling other beggars where they can find bread. That's who you are. You're not better than anybody. You're just a beggar who found bread. Now you want to share where that bread can be found. But it continues, so it starts with the resurrection, but it continues with watching, walking, and working. See, I don't want us to divorce this fourth candle from the other three. They all go together. See, watching moves apathy to urgency. See, if you're watching for the Lord's return, it will cause you not to be apathetic, not to be in your comfort zone. It will cause you to be urgent in the way you go and share with others. All of a sudden, a trivial life turns into a life with great purpose. I get to share Jesus with others because he's coming back. And walking in Jesus and with Jesus, it causes you from having a self-centered life to having a God-centered life. And that changes everything about you, who you are, how you interact with everyone. And when it comes to working in light of Christ's return, it causes you to work in a way that is not loving self, but loving others. So if you're walking with Jesus and working for Jesus, you know what will happen? People will notice. You will stick out if you go to your work as a servant and you constantly serve everyone around you like Jesus serves you. That's going to require explaining. Why are you doing this? Why do you lay down your life for me? Why do you love me like no one else has loved me? Why are you reacting in all these situations in a way that's completely different than anybody else I know would react in that situation? See, watching, walking, working should naturally lead to witnessing. In other words, the life you live should cause others to ask questions, or it should at least back up that conversation you get to have. So don't just take witnessing as a separate category. No, it's when your whole life is lived for Jesus and for others, it's going to allow you opportunities to witness. It's going to open doors all around you as you serve others like Christ and worship Christ more than yourself, living for his kingdom, not your own. It will cause opportunity to be able to serve. So what keeps us from sharing with people? I mean, what's sort of the walls? What's the roadblocks? I just want to deal with a few of these. So I think the first one, probably the biggest one, is just fear. I think fear causes most of us not ever to share with anyone. So when it comes to fear, one of our fears is this: I just don't know enough. I just don't know enough to be able to share with somebody else. That's a fear we have, right? I don't know enough. What if they ask me a question I can't answer? I don't even want to start the conversation because if they ask me a question I don't know, then the whole gospel unravel, Jesus will be dethroned, and all of Christianity will fall apart. So I'm not even going to try because that would be bad, right? So you just remain quiet. And what I want to say is that it's okay if you don't know enough yet. One of my favorite witnessing moments is in John chapter 9. If you want to read that when you get home, there's a blind guy and Jesus makes him see, right? Now you have this blind guy who can now see. So he causes quite a bit of a stir. They bring him in front of the religious leaders. And the religious leaders start questioning, just all these theological questions. They start asking him, well, how can Jesus do this? How can it be true? All these questions, this guy has no idea how to answer. And then finally the guy says, look, I don't know your answers. I don't know if Jesus is a sinner or not a sinner. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I was blind and now I see, and he did it. That's what I know. So here's my eyes. Check them out. Hold up fingers. I'll tell you how many you got. Right? That's his story. Like, I was blind, now I see. I don't know all your answers. I don't know how the gospel fits into current culture and political situations. And I don't know how Jesus is fully God and fully man. And I don't know how all that stuff works. But here's what I know. I was lost and now I'm found. I was dead, now I'm alive. And that's who I am. That's what's happened to me. That's what I know. I mean, that's all you have to know in order to be a witness for Christ. He saved me. I don't know. I'll help you figure out the answers as I figure out the answers. But here's what I know. He saved my life. And if you're courageous and just to share that and then let somebody walk with you as your life continues to change, that's one of the best witnesses you can have with someone. So actually not knowing enough sometimes is even a good thing because it'll keep you focused on the one thing you know. Jesus saved me and he can save you. Don't worry about all the other questions. Let's worry about this one. Jesus is a savior and he can save you because he saved me. So one of it is just, I don't know enough. The other one is, I'm not good enough. It's a common question. I'm just not good enough. I still mess up. I still have junk in my life. Man, I still make some mistakes. I had a buddy that I had breakfast with last week, and he said, man, Corey, I messed up this week. Man, I was dealing with a client, and we got tempers, and man, I said some things I shouldn't have, and it was just, man, it was bad. I feel like I totally blew my witness with him. And you know what I'm gonna do this next week? Man, I'm gonna write him a letter and explain to him that's not how I should have reacted, because I'm a believer and I'm in Christ now and I'm not perfect, but Christ is changing me, and I'm just gonna lay it all out there because I blew my witness with him. And I'm like, no, that is witnessing to him. Like, this is probably the best moment you have to witness this guy. See, what they don't need to see is your perfect life. You're not the one, you're not witnessing about yourself. Hey, look at me, I'm perfect. No, you're saying, I've come to Christ and he's changing me. And in those moments when you blow it, is some of the best moments to be able to witness, because you can say to your friends and your loved ones and your families, did you see me blow it? That's why I need Jesus as my Savior. See, that's who I was. But that's not who I am now. So I'm repenting of that. I need your forgiveness, because that's not who Christ has remade me to be. So I need your forgiveness because God has forgiven me, and I need you to help me to walk this life that God has called me to walk. See, people don't need you to live a perfect life. They need you to live a gospel life, which includes confession and repentance often. But if you're the only one around them dealing with your sin, what's that gonna tell them? Oh, sin's real, and there's a real Savior who really does cleanse our sin and works those sins out of us. So some of the mess ups is actually the best moments you can have to be able to witness for someone. So I just don't know enough. I'm not good enough. The next one is, I don't know how. I just don't know how to actually share the gospel. Like, if I got in a conversation, I don't know how. And that's a valid fear, but it's one that can be overcome relatively easy. There are thousands of resources. Just go to Google, how do I share my faith? Watch a YouTube video, how do I share my faith? It's pretty easy. There's a lot of resources. One of the best ones you can do is just your testimony. That's what Paul did all throughout Acts. He just kept sharing his testimony. You know what your testimony is? Here's how I was before I met Jesus. This was my life. This was my loves. This was my priorities. And then all of a sudden, Jesus came into my life. He saved me. I repented of my sin. I put my faith and trust in Christ. And now, here's my life. Priorities are different. Loves are different. Affections different. Lifestyle's different. All these things are completely different. Why? Because I've got Christ now. So it's just that testimony. Here's who I was. Christ saved me. Here's who I am now. And he can do the same for you if you come to him. Verses that you probably know are actually explosive when it comes to evangelism. Like John 3:16, just memorize that verse. You're like, I've got that verse memorized. Okay, then take that verse, and you can use that in any situation to share with someone. Because I love how that verse just kind of breaks down the gospel. So if you have your testimony, what I like to think is just four kind of key points in sharing the gospel, okay? So you got God, man, Christ, response. Just four things, and it's all in John 3:16, right? For God, who's God? Holy, creator, perfect, loving. For God, so love the world. Well, that's man. Who's the world? Sinful, rejected God, ran on our own way, man, run away from him, now deserves death and judgment. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that's Jesus, right? And you can explain the cross and the resurrection and how Jesus died for their sins. What's the response? That whoever believes would have eternal life. I mean, that's just one verse, four key points that you can easily share with someone. Just kind of keep that in your framework. Testimony, a key verse. But usually it's just in a conversation, remember who's with you. The Spirit's with you. The power of God is with you. He'll lead and direct if you'll open that door. Another fear is, what will happen? What if I actually share my faith with someone? What's gonna happen? What's this person gonna think? What are they gonna say? What's my reputation at work gonna be like after this? Will I get fired? Like, what's gonna actually happen? Will I blow it? What will go down if I actually open my mouth and influence someone for Christ? What's going to happen? Well, bottom line, that comes down to a fear of man versus trusting in God. And what God would say is, don't worry about all that. Man, you can go through all the million reasons of what's going to happen, or you can trust me and just make it happen. And if you'll make it happen and trust me, Yeah, some of those things might actually come true, but they're not going to be as bad as you think they are. And you know what? There's probably going to be some stuff that's going to come out of that that's actually way bigger and better than you could ever imagine. So I think fear is one of the things that cripple us. So how do we get over fear? We trust God. We remember it's His power, His presence in us and through us. It's not us out on a limb by ourselves. It's no, we're partnering with the God of the universe as we share our faith. So we lean into trust whenever fear begins to paralyze us and cause us to stand when we should be moving and going. I think another key one is just apathy. And here's what I think apathy is, really boiled down. We believe people are really okay without God. I mean, our neighbors look fine. They put up Christmas lights too. They seem happy, right? They drive cars. I mean, they got kids. Everything seems like it's okay. They're probably okay without God, so I don't need to interject my religion into their life. And I just want to ask a simple question. Were you really okay before God? I mean, you probably looked okay, but how was your soul really? You were wrecked. How was your family really? It was wrecked. How was your life really? It was wrecked. See, on the outside, Instagram feed, you looked good too, but on the inside, you were deeply in need of a savior. And that's the same predicament your neighbors and your coworkers and your family and your friends and your kids are in. See, apathy says, well, the world's okay without God. No, the world needs God. They're not okay without Him. And the last one's just busyness. I think busyness a lot of times is an excuse that keeps us from sharing our gospel. We're just too busy. I don't have time. And really what that is just a priority issue. And what I want to say, if that's your one excuse, don't add evangelism as another column of your life. I do this, I do this, I do this. Now I got to add evangelism into my life. No, weave influencing others into your life. So as you go to work, right, you're at work, how can I start influencing those around me towards the Lord Jesus in little ways? I got a lunch break. How can I have somebody out to lunch just to have a conversation that I'm going to try to lead it to Christ? My professor would say, you can share the gospel with a man all day long if you'll just buy his lunch. That's pretty true, right? You buy their lunch, you got a captive audience. If you just start talking long enough and ask questions, let them talk, you'll get to the gospel if you've purposely intended to get there. It just kind of flows naturally in some of those conversations that we have. So you got to make time, but put these things into all of your life. So I think some of these things keep us from doing the one thing that God has called us to do. So we're out of time, so I just want to ask this. What is your one step that you need to take this morning when it comes to being a witness or sharing your faith? Just what's your one step? So maybe for you, your one step is this. I'm going to start praying for someone. That's your one step. Do that and see how faithful God will be. Every morning, wake up and say, Father, and pray specifically for a name. Will you open a door so that I can share the gospel with blank? Every day, pray that. And then go to work and then work beside them all day long and just see how many opportunities kind of open up a little bit. If you're already praying for someone, your next step is to influence them, share with them. Actually have an intentional conversation to try to get it to the gospel. Hey, you're just opening the door. The Spirit is the one who kicks it down and goes to work, right? You just open the door. Sometimes it's going to get slammed right back. You were faithful. Sometimes it's going to fling wide open and you're going to see the Spirit work through you and you're going to see someone come to Christ, right? For others, maybe you've already shared, you've already got people coming to Christ. Maybe your next step is, how can I disciple someone? How can I disciple someone so that they can become someone who leads others to Christ? So wherever you're at, what I'm asking is just one little baby step, just one step forward. So what is your one step forward? What's your baby step? So let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. And I just want you to think through that. So if you bow your heads, close your eyes, think through, what's my one baby step? And I want to give you about 30 seconds to go ahead and answer that question before the Lord. So I'm going to be quiet, and I want you to answer that question. What's my baby step, and God, how am I going to take that little step forward? Father God, wherever we're at, help us to take one step forward in influencing others for you. God, help us to remember that you changed the world not through great orators, not through people who created Hollywood scripts back in the day, but God, you changed the world through fishermen and tax collectors who were unequipped, and that was their qualifications. Their qualification was that they were unequipped and unqualified, but you equipped them and sent them out. And God, you do the same for us. So remember, if we feel unqualified, that really is the only qualification we need, because we'll rely on you. We'll take one step forward and we'll move in influencing people because you're coming back. So in light of that, let us stop standing and staring, but let us start moving and going so that your kingdom can be moved on this earth and many would call upon your name. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.